You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Happy Monday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know who else might not have any business being in elected office? That group of senators that decided that, well, the entire shutdown was basically just what? An exercise in futility? We're going to get to that on today's episode of the Maggie Dawn Show, which we like to call Sound Off Monday. I got some things to sound off about. I'm sure you do too. I want to hear from you all about your thoughts on this, quote, deal. It's no deal, in my opinion. This deal that a group of spineless Democrats in the Senate apparently came up with. Unbelievable. We're going to talk about all this. There's been quite a bit of news, a lot of confusion also surrounding SNAP benefits. We're going to get to all of that. I'm going to start there with my effort to try to explain what happened over the past weekend since late Friday regarding those SNAP decisions. Maybe all of that gets mooted in short order, given the deal that's not a deal, that's just weakness from Senate Democrats. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are, of course, listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for this Sound Off Monday, 855-752-4842. And note, we're going to be joined at 5:30 by Jeff Mandel. He's the Executive Director and General Counsel for Law Forward. I'm going to be talking with Jeff about Donald Trump's pardons of the 2020 election fraudsters. I mean the people that actually committed fraud related to the 2020 election. What that means here in Wisconsin, what it doesn't mean in Wisconsin, and what Law Forward has been doing about it. We got a huge show, so much news to get to. Join me. Again, big news is there appears to be a shutdown deal. We are on day 41 of the shutdown, longest shutdown in U.S. history. What do you think of the, I can't even call it a deal, the complete and total capitulation of a tiny group of Democrats in the Senate that can't find their spine? Not hiding the punchline here from my vantage point, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's talk about the contours of what I'm going to call the no-deal complete capitulation of a group of senators, Democratic senators. Late yesterday, I think it was around like 10 o'clock our time, a vote that went down on a 60-40 split with a number of Democratic senators joining with Republicans to end the shutdown. This deal, quote, the no deal deal, includes a funding package for several departments, including agriculture. That, of course, would solve the SNAP problem. That funds the departments completely until next fall. And there's a continuing resolution that will continue to fund the remaining departments at current governmental funding levels through January 30th, meaning we're going to have yet another debate over whether to fund those portions of the government in January. The measure must still pass the House, and it must be signed by President Trump before the government can reopen. Speaker Johnson saying today that on Wednesday he will schedule that vote. There's a number of procedural things that need to happen, but that is where we are at. The sources about this vote, this deal, says that it includes reversing Donald Trump's layoffs. That's a plus. But this was always and ever about healthcare. Where is the Republican solution to healthcare? It's nowhere, never been anywhere, never gotten off a table or concepts or plans or pages. I don't know. Nobody's ever seen it. The whole point of the shutdown, unless I am incredibly mistaken, was the Democratic pretty simple demand to restore the ACA subsidies. That it's so late into the year and there's going to be so much harm caused by the big brutal bill when it comes to the millions of Americans that access health insurance through the Affordable Care Act exchanges that these premium hikes are going to wreak havoc. People will be sicker. More people will die. More people won't be insured. It was going to have all of these terrible impacts. But Democrats all of a sudden this weekend went, never mind about that. So it doesn't include an extension of the subsidies. What were they doing for the last 41 stinking days? Someone explain this to me. Like, make this make sense to me. I cannot get my head around this. They're going to let the Affordable Care Act subsidy issue go after shutting down this is like so classic Democrat. Well, we're going to make a demand, but it's not a real demand. And if you just wait long enough, we'll just give up the demand because we have no spine. After a freaking blue wave last Tuesday, what is wrong with these Senate Democrats? I mean, if this is not the clearest indication that Senate Democrats are completely out of touch, or that, frankly, elected officials writ large, totally out of touch, I mean, what is even going on? Apparently, there's some mealy-mouthed, not written into the resolution vague promise that there'll be some sort of revisiting of the ACA subsidies in January. But Speaker Johnson on the House side said he won't even promise that the House will even vote on extending the subsidies. So let me get this straight. Republicans now refuse to discuss the subsidies, but magically in January, they're going to discuss the subsidies, but Johnson won't promise to discuss the subsidies. So here's my list of you do not represent me anymore at all. Or the middle class. These are Democrats. Janine Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire. Maggie Hassan, Democrat of New Hampshire. Senator Angus King, an independent from Maine. I love it when it's just the Northeast Corridor. I'm sure they're representative of the upper Midwest as well. Here we go. Catherine Cortez Masto, Democrat in Nevada. Dick Durbin, what the hell happened to you, Dick Durbin? Long sitting Democrat in Illinois. Fetterman out of Pennsylvania. Tim Kaine, you turncoat, Democrat of Virginia. And Jackie Rosen, Democrat in Nevada. I'll tell you what every single one of these Democrats are doing. They're putting their own electoral calculus ahead of what they know their constituents need. That makes them indistinguishable in some ways, at least on that measure, from many MAGA Republicans. That you're more concerned about your re-election prospects in purple states than you are about standing by your word and fighting for what the majority of your constituents know is needed. And this is no deal. This is just complete capitulation. I do not understand it. Someone please help me. Talk me off the ledge if you can. 855-752-4842, 855-75-MADISON. Kurt, do you understand? I just don't get it.
Well, once again, it's the recurring Linus and Lucy, or Charlie Brown and Lucy. Again, it's like, it's Groundhog Day. They constantly do this over and over again. Now, I was going to call Schumer's office and say, resign. You suck. But
well, Schumer didn't vote for this. He's opposed to it. At least Schumer knows that no deal is not a deal.
Yeah, but he's supposed to control how everybody, the caucus, and he failed at it. So the other thing is, I get an email from Tim Kaine trying to explain himself why he did it. I called his office right away and said, I hope you never get reelected again. This is unforgivable. This is why
unforgivable.
Progressives like me and others, why we are so, so critical of the Democratic Party. And it's all justified.
I don't even consider myself on the left end of Democrats. I consider myself sort of a radical centrist pragmatist, but I also consider myself radical in that I will call the BS out. This is total BS. There's no way that any of these people can in any way justify their vote to me. And like, I was taking heat on Friday for saying Schumer's up there putting forth what is an actual compromise. There's nothing that Republicans compromised on in this quote unquote no deal deal. It's just capitulation. Everything in there is ephemera and garbage. First of all, the rehiring of these federal workers, that's under litigation. It would have happened nearly certainly anyways, okay? Because there was no legal basis to terminate those people. Secondly, fully funding the U.S. Department of Agriculture because of SNAP benefits. Again, we have litigation proceeding that explain that that was basically going to happen anyways. And the political pressure on the Trump administration, once the government reopened, if we actually would have gotten a concession from Republicans, would have compelled him to fully fund SNAP. There is absolutely nothing in this deal at all that represents any sacrifice, any compromise from MAGA. It is all compromise, give, and giving up from Democrats, Kurt. So I don't think it's like progressive versus centrist. I think there's a group of senators that are more worried about their reelection prospects than what's going to happen to their constituents before their reelection.
I guarantee you Johnson is laughing with his buddies, saying that what a bunch of, you know, ne'er-do-wells. It's so easy to roll these guys. This is what we all are observing. That's at least what I'm observing. I'm 65. I've been following politics since Nixon.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. This is ridiculous.
You know, I want to see the party of people that want government to work well for the vast majority of us, for a fair tax code, for an economy that works for every American and that won't put up with this weak-kneed, mealy-mouthed, I-have-no-spine Democratic Party. Like, find your way to a solid message that works. Oh, wait, we had affordability. Literally, last Tuesday, the American people sent an unequivocally clear message to Donald Trump, to the MAGA movement. It is about affordability, and this guy is doing everything in his power to make everything less affordable. And what do we do within days of that? We give up one of the key pillars of the affordability crisis. We give up on trying to fight for our constituents to have affordable health care. Yes, is the system that we've got now not good enough? Hell yes. Let's criticize the hell out of it. But until Republicans show one iota of actual good faith desire to do something about healthcare, some legislative proposal, you just took every single voter that showed up with all that energy last Tuesday to Senators Hassan, Shaheen, Cortez Masto, Durbin, Fetterman, Kane, and Jackie Rosen. You just took all of those voters and you said, go fly a kite. We don't care what you had to say. Shameful. Someone make this make sense to me. I do not understand. 855-752-4842. It's Sound Off Monday. I've gotten my sound off my chest. You are next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I want to run and hide. I don't even know how to explain it, folks. I want to run and hide from the cowardliness of a handful of Senate Democrats who have literally thrown their constituents in every single one of the voters that turned out by the millions last Tuesday to issue a stinging rebuke to Donald Trump and the MAGA party. This handful of Democrats in the Senate, despite the clarity with which voters spoke last Tuesday and the uniformity with which they spoke, that this is about affordability, have now agreed to what? Let the MAGA movement provide welfare to the wealthiest and mega corporations while gutting the ACA subsidies that keep it affordable for tens of millions of Americans. Have you no shame? Have you no spine? Have you no courage? Every single one of these elected officials should absolutely be willing to stand up before their constituencies and say, it is okay if you choose not to elect me again. If your choice is in response to me standing strong for regular Americans, the tens of millions of us that need those subsidies in the ACA to afford health care for our families. You can vote me out on that because this is a value, this is a principle that I am willing to sacrifice my electoral life for. Those are the elected officials. Those are the candidates that I want to see. You cannot put yourself before service. There's no explaining this in my humble opinion. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We got stacked phone calls, so folks, I'm going to ask you to be specific. If I'm missing something here, if you think I shouldn't be as angry as I am, please, please help me not be so upset by this. Roger from Middleton, thanks for your patience, sir. What you got for us?
Hi, love your show. I support you. We should be upset as all get out. Here's my, I heard today through some media that the five people who capitulated, the five members of the Democratic Party who capitulated and voted for this, none of them are planning to run again, which makes it even more odd that they went the way they did. But I was wondering if you'd heard about that and could comment. Love your show. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Roger. That was really nice of you to say and great to hear. I can't confirm that right now. I'm going to ask. I got my senior producer and my board operator. They're looking into that. We've got Senator Jeanine Shaheen from New Hampshire, Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada, Dick Durbin from Illinois, Fetterman, he's running again, from Pennsylvania, Tim Kaine, Virginia, and Jackie Rosen out of Nevada again. I can't imagine that two Nevada senators, both Democrats, would both say, I'm not running in the next election. That's insane. And even if they are, then it still makes no sense to me. No sense to me at all whatsoever. Someone please explain, what was the point of the last 40 days? How do any of those Democrats look at a federal worker that lives in their state and say to them into their face, this is what you've sacrificed for? Nothing? We got nothing? Shameful. Charles from Milwaukee, hello, sir. What you got for us?
Hello, Maggie. Two quick points. Nancy Pelosi would have never allowed this. This would have never occurred under her leadership. There would have been
you're
no
damn right
under her leadership. And my second point is, when we see the polls that talk about the Democrats being so low, this is why, because people are ready for Democrats to put on the gloves and fight and not lay down and let the Republicans walk all over us every single time. They want the Democratic Party to stand up and fight. And they were doing a good job up until last night. I'm lost like you and a lot of other people, Maggie.
Why do I want someone who won't stick to their guns? I want someone who understands. If you're going to stand up for a principle, if you're going to stand up for a policy, and you're willing to shut the government down on day one, then what does it say when you're willing to completely abandon that on day 40? It is absolutely anathema to me. What are these people doing? Now, there's a whole bunch of them, these Dems, that aren't up for re-election until 2028, so in 3 years. That's Fetterman, Cortez Masto, Maggie Hassan. And then there's more that aren't even up for election until 2030. Tim Kaine, Jackie Rosen, and Angus King. Shame on them even more. I hope all of them get primaried. Every single last one of them. If you cannot stand up for working class people, and if you cannot call the bluff of the MAGA movement that is their biggest, longest running pile of horse crap, which is, we know how to do healthcare better. We have pages and pages of a plan and concepts of a plan and ideas of ideas. If you can't call that baloney, the 60 plus votes that they took during Trump 1 to get rid of the ACA with no replacement anywhere in sight, why are you in office? The utter abandonment of your constituents, flipping the bird to every voter that supported Democrats. this past Tuesday and flipping the bird to every single federal worker that has gone to work and not gotten paid for the last nearly 7 weeks. Shame on you. But thank you to Charles. We got to take care of a brief message. Your thoughts. Everybody's going to get a shot at it today. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What do we call this? The sound off on the shutdown. It continues on the other side. Join us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining me, I'm Maggie Dawn. It is Sound Off Monday. And I'm sounding off about this shutdown. I can't call it a deal. It's just total capitulation by a handful of Democratic senators to everything Republicans wanted. I cannot get my head around this. When I saw it late last night, yelling at my phone, I went to bed hoping, maybe I'll wake up and this wasn't really what that headline looked like. No, it's this bad. Let's see. What did the Republicans get? Opening of government. What did they give up? What did the MAGAs give up? Checks, notes. Nothing. Nothing. Not a Zippo zilch. Which, by the way, remember on Friday when I was saying, like, Chuck Schumer came out, he gave up something, permanent funding of the ACA subsidies, took that off the table, said, let's just do it for a year, which, again, I think is cynical because it allows Republicans to maybe look good through the midterms. He conceded something. He was asking the MAGAs to concede something. You know, a negotiation. Maybe he did that on Friday to keep all of these turncoats from turning coat even earlier. And who are they turning their backs on? Every single one of those voters that showed up with all of that energy last Tuesday that said to Democrats, keep fighting for us, the middle class, the small business owner, the retiree, the people that actually work hard, that don't inherit their money or hoard their money, the folks that have worked to put their kids through college, the folks that are struggling to pay for college themselves, keep fighting. And what do these Democrats do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 8 Democrats. What did they all do? Cave. As if elections shouldn't have consequences. What the hell is wrong with these people? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Folks, the phone lines are backed up. I'm going to go phones the rest of this hour. So if you are not getting through, please be patient as I take callers. More slots will open up. 855-752-4842. As you know, women, first-time callers, veterans, go to the top of the line. David from Mequon, thank you for joining us. What you got for us, friend? David, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, sir. Yes, I can. Go ahead, sir.
So, really quickly, I view it differently than pretty much everybody that's on this radio station. But the reason being, the American Federation of Government Employees, they said clearly to the Democrats, this has got to end. Because the everyday family that was not getting a paycheck, it was getting to be too much. So the unions are the ones who actually pushed these individual senators to say, okay, you know what? Listen, how are these people supposed to live if they're not getting paid for the work they're doing, like the air traffic controllers and other people? I mean, you can't expect them to keep holding out forever. And so I think at the end of the day, it came down to the unions, and I'm sure the unions probably told the Democrats, this is just my guess, that if you don't get this done, we're not going to give you money in the next go around. And so the other thing is, it was enhanced subsidies. There's still going to be some sort of subsidy, but it was enhanced subsidy with the ACA, which was passed during COVID, the American Rescue Plan. So that's what's going to disappear. There'll be some sort of subsidy of some sort. It's the enhanced portion that was supposed to be only temporary anyways during COVID that's what the Republicans were fighting against.
Let me take each of these things in turn. Thank you so much, David. Really important points you brought up. Let's deal with the unions. AFSCME, the American Federation of Federal, State, and Municipal Employers. That union, of course, represents the interests of those that are employed by government, including those that are employed by the federal government. It is absolutely correct. If I was a union leader for that group of people, I would be saying, end the government shutdown because my membership is being hurt. That's the job of the union. The job of the elected official is to understand that the stakes of what was happening in this shutdown, as different from every other shutdown, was not just about federal employees. Because if that's all it was about, then there shouldn't have been a shutdown in the first place. And let me say this. Perhaps that union should have looked to its bank account and distributed direct cash payments to every single one of its furloughed employees. Maybe that's what the union should do on the money that was sitting in its account, instead of threatening to withhold it from Democrats that weren't just fighting for federal workers, but were fighting for every middle-class worker in their states to make sure that they could afford health care. Second point David made. This was about enhanced subsidies that were put into place during COVID that were supposed to roll off. That is correct, sir. But what we found out through that period of time is that those enhanced subsidies, which enhanced the subsidy, the help that people would get to pay their premiums, was essential for tens of millions of people to get health care. What we found out is that the gaps in our health care system were bigger than what we thought. So when we find out that a temporary program needs to be extended because it results in better overall health outcomes, less death, less sickness, more people accessing healthcare, which brings premiums down for everybody, then that means we need to have a conversation about making those things permanent. Or we need to ask the opposing party, the MAGAs, where the hell is your plan? Don't tell me about concepts of a plan. Don't tell me about the ideas that you've had, the pages and pages, the binders and binders of women. Oops, nope, I meant ideas about health. Show me what your plan is. Because what we've got now is what we've got now. And if the difference is extending what was supposed to be temporary into a more permanent thing, and the deal from Schumer was just a year extension, what the hell? And AFSCME, why didn't you cut checks to your employees, to your members? They pay dues. Why don't you let them go dues-free for a couple of years? How about that? Maybe don't take the $1,000 to $2,000 out of their paychecks that you take. How about that? There are all kinds of ways for unions to express their preferences and advocate for their membership. But a union that represents public sector employees should always know that the reason that their members show up to work is to serve the public. And if the union's interests run counter to what the general public's interests are, then the union had better track a very, very delicate course, in my opinion, and perhaps look for any other means necessary, any other way, other than putting their members' interests ahead of the public interests that their members serve. Probably not going to make me too popular, but it's what I think, folks, and that's what we're going with today. Let's see. Who do we got next? Oh, my goodness. So many fine folks. Ron from Milwaukee, what do you got for us?
Hi. Hi. I feel funny about this because for decades I have believed as you believe, and I've had to wrestle with this for the last week or two since Gingrich, when the Republicans started playing these stunts and shutting down government. Even Bernie Sanders, who said rather reluctantly, well, this was not a good idea, but it was necessary, for these. He went along with it, but he was grudging about it. It tells you something. And my feeling is that the Republicans are in a truck full of dynamite, and they're racing towards Democrats in another truck full of dynamite, a smaller pile of it. And the Republicans have thrown the wheel out the window. And, you know, it's like, if you're a Democrat, you've got to say, this guy's crazy. He's going to let us crash everything unless we concede.
Well, Ron, and my point is, like, if not this, then what? Right? Clear demand, clear concession, or clear, you know, conciliatory offer position, which was just the year extension. Fine, show us your plan for, like, if not standing up for health care, what are you going where does the line get drawn? I just don't, not this issue, right? Exactly. It's right, now right. or never. You've got them on the ropes. It's like, way to snatch defeat, you know, out of the jaws of victory. Like, typical Democrats, it's just infuriating. Thank you so very much, Ron from Milwaukee. Appreciate you. We got Melissa from Brooklyn on the air. Melissa, hello. Thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Hello. Hello?
Go ahead. Yes, you are on the air.
Hi. Hi, first-time caller, long-time listener. I could not be more angry with this. It's like a huge FU after we showed up for No Kings all across the nation. We prepared for the shutdown. We are willing to stick it out. And they just said, yeah, well, never mind. And I don't know that I'll ever help the Democratic Party again. This all started in 2016 when they decided to shove Bernie out of the way. And it's been going on ever since. But they didn't.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Melissa. Finish your thought, please.
Oh, I said it started with Bernie in 2016, and it's been going on ever since, and I'm sure it went on before that. But they're just not paying any attention to the people, and they need to.
I just want to say this. Please, 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 in the midst of all of our fury, I will always be a person that is looking at the options that are available to us and always advocating for the sometimes it is harm reduction. Sometimes it is harm avoidance. Those are not votes that make us passionate or make us feel energized, but sometimes they are necessary votes. I will stand and I will always show up, sometimes though distastefully, sometimes disgruntedly, I think, to vote, sometimes for candidates that I wish would do better. But what I want to make really clear here is you do not win protracted political fights over the most basic values that we hold dear, whether you're on the more progressive end or in the centrist end of the Democratic Party, by giving it up. You can't win if you won't stay and fight. And I'm so sick of it only being the MAGA side of the universe that is any message discipline, any voting discipline. Democrats are a big tent party. We can have lots of fights within the tent. I don't have any problem with that. It's like fighting with your own family members. But when it comes to the big moments where we need people to stand the post, to keep the line, this type of backsliding should have a consequence for these senators. There is nothing, I don't think, that anybody's going to tell me that's going to make me not angry about this. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Sometimes leadership means actually leading, charting a course forward that does not abandon your first principles and your most closely held values. We're better than this, Democrats. Our calls with all of you, our discussion continues on the other side. I'm going to also read out from the text line. Get them in now, folks. 855-752-4842 as we all sound off on the shutdown capitulation from Senate Dems. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What is going on, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Sound Off Monday, and we are sounding off about the shutdown capitulation from Senate Democrats. Lots of great insights on the text line. Jake from Madison says this: Schumer cannot stay in charge. He has lost control of the caucus and he's a horrendous messenger. He hurts Dem chances, and the seniority system has to be tossed, especially in these dangerous times. I think there's a lot there, Jake. If you cannot keep control of your caucus, then perhaps step aside. Perhaps step aside. Other reporting this hour, Senator Dick Durbin said that he crossed the aisle last night with seven of his colleagues to allow the funding measure to advance, stating, quote, I went to him yesterday, meaning Senator Thune, majority leader. I went to him yesterday and said, eight of us are sticking our necks out, that you're going to keep your word. I hope you will. Dear Dick Durbin and every single last one of you Democrats, you stuck your neck out? You hope that MAGAs will keep their word? No, what you did is you stamped down hard on the necks of every single one of your constituents that won't be able to afford health care because you got no real promise from anyone. Haven't you learned by now that a handshake with a MAGA is not worth anything? It's day 294 of Trump 2.0, and we have yet to see a moment of daylight between House Majority Leader Magical Thinking Mike Jackhole Johnson and Donald Trump. They have no backbone, no ability to put any distance between themselves and Donald Trump. If there's one bright or perhaps silver lining of this storm cloud of a Monday, it's that Democrats have yet again demonstrated the fact that some of them think independently of one another. Something that the MAGA crowd can't lay claim to. Ross from Crawford County, I see you. We got Tom from New Berlin saying hello on the text line. So many people, thank you so very much again for all of your input. We really appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones. We got a conservative, I think, on the line. Hey, Gary from Sussex. Been a hot minute. How you doing, sir? What you got for us?
Well, I've been listening to you. You sound like you're pretty hot yourself. So I get a little concerned that we can have a conversation, you and I, together. So I'm going to start out. What I'd like to say is about the SNAP money. A few years back, it was one in 40 people in the United States were depending on, you know, food stamps. Now it's one in eight. What's changed? I don't know.
Tell me what you think has changed.
I think there's a lot of people scamming the system.
Okay, forget that for a second, because all of the objective analyses of that have not shown that to be true. What else, okay, in addition to that, separately,
Maggie,
I'm asking you a question about the point that you made, Gary. If you taking any fraud that has not been proved at a scale that would show that increase, okay, just taking that off the table, what else do you think has led to the explosion in need?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to tell you that my neighbor drives around in a Lincoln Navigator.
Anecdotes aren't evidence. What else do you think explains the need?
Probably a lot of people coming into this country illegally and claiming that they need...
What I'm trying to do, Gary, is none of the factors that you have stated yet, which is now fraud and illegal immigrants, there is no objective analysis that shows that that could have driven the increase in the need for supplemental nutrition assistance program dollars. So
yeah,
I'm just saying, for the purpose, you may disagree with it, but you and I are having a discussion, and I'm trying to get you to entertain what else might be driving the explosion in need.
Well, people are making more money nowadays. The economy is doing well.
Gary, what if you're wrong? What if that's not true? What if real wages have not gone up? What if real wage growth in minimum wage earning jobs? We haven't changed the minimum wage since 2009, Gary. So is real wages really going up?
Maggie, you can go to any McDonald's and they're making $15 an hour now. You can go to Burger King.
Gary, then why do we have a minimum wage at 7 and a quarter? If that's true, then why is the minimum wage at 7 and a quarter?
nobody's getting paid 7 1/4.
Then why is the minimum wage at 7 1/4? If what you say is true, why don't Republicans change the minimum wage to $15 an hour?
I don't know, but I'll...
Whoop, there it is. Gary, what I would say, and I want to get back to Gary, so Jacob, if you can keep Gary on the line, I want to continue this discussion. On the other side, we got Jesse from Madison, Ollie from the Northwoods, Joe from Madison, Mike from Southwest Wisconsin. We've got one more phone line open. I want to continue this discussion with Gary because it is so, so very important. We've got to take a couple breaks. I'm going to do a little research in our break so that I can have a more informed discussion with Gary on the other side. Gary's thesis to us is that the explosion in the need for SNAP benefits is due to fraud and illegals, his words, okay? Let's explore that on the other side. Gary, I want you to stay with me, okay? And I want us to all consider the question, why do you think the need for nutritional assistance has exploded? And Gary, I want you to give a think on this as we take care of a couple of important messages. Might it be that income and wealth inequality has gotten exponentially worse, exponentially faster over the last 10 years, and why that might be the case? And I want Gary to entertain another question. Sir, if we know that it requires people to make at least $20 an hour to have even a dignity wage where they can pay for the basics, why do we have any income tax until the 45,000th dollar that someone makes? We're going to discuss all that and more on the other side. Don't go away. My discussion with Gary and you continues. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.